Before I begin, just a quick note and an apology to regular listeners, especially those who try to listen more or less live at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 12:30 Pacific. This is the second day in a row that the automation that puts this in place has screwed up and not played the right program. So I don't know exactly what's going on. Hopefully it'll be fixed soon. Meanwhile, the podcast is the way to listen, and I'll try to get those up later, even if the station can't seem to play them when it's supposed to. And I guess as a reminder, that certainly means we could use some help financially and every other way. Prayer support as well. Thanks. Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the first day of August, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's talk about this right up front today and kind of get it out of the way. Devin Archer finally, at long last and in spite of some expectations, actually did testify before the House committee yesterday investigating the big guy himself and, of course, all the criminality surrounding the rigged election and the wannabe Biden Fuhrer. And basically what he said is basically the reason why the Department of Justice didn't want you to hear it, even though they did do it behind closed doors. The testimony is being called a smoking gun, but arguably that's an understatement. It's more like a smoking artillery barrage. The convicted Biden family business partner sang like a bird, said at least one story about it. Who knows, maybe he was upset at being the sacrificial lamb for the crime family. Not part of the bloodline, you know. On Monday, Archer told House investigators that Joe Biden met with Hunter's business clients numerous times, in spite of the fact that the scumbag himself lied directly to the American people and said, oh, no way did any such thing happen. He joined in the meetings over the phone, and the family was rewarded with, and we knew this already, tens of millions of dollars worth of bribes for influence peddling and other similar schemes involving, arguably, outright treason and a sellout of the once-free United States. Among other bombshells, he testified that the big guy himself met with Russia's Yelena Baturina, who later invested $40 million into one of Hunter Biden's real estate ventures and also paid Hunter $3.5 million in consulting fees. And coincidentally, yeah, sure, the billionaire widow of the corrupt Moscow mayor was left off of Biden's infamous Russia, 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 except for some folks, sanctions list. And here's one you knew was coming. In spite of saying he never, ever did such a thing, Archer testified that Joe Biden was in on more than 20 phone calls with Hunter's various business associates while he was serving as VP between 2009 and 2017. And he told lawmakers that the Biden brand helped Ukrainian natural gas company Burisma Holdings keep from going bankrupt. And they, in turn, kept him afloat and helped line the crime family's pockets. So in summary, as Marjorie Taylor Greene also put it, we all knew it. We've known it for a long time. Quote, Biden lied. Devin Archer just confirmed it. And I was going to spend some time putting together a montage of various Biden clips where he lied through his damnable teeth about how he never, ever talked about business with Hunter. There was not a scintilla of evidence. Well, we thought we got rid of it all, but I guess we didn't get rid of all the people. I should have listened to Hitler after all, and so forth. But she saved me a bunch of time. So here goes.
No one's established that he did anything wrong or that I've done anything wrong. Period. He did not do a single thing wrong, as everybody's investigated.
But look, there is zero, 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 zero evidence of any assertion being made.
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong. There's not a scintilla of evidence that I did anything wrong. No one has produced one scintilla of evidence that I did anything other than do my job for America. I don't discuss business with my son.
Have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas dealings.
And I've never discussed what my son's business with him because I didn't want any conflict.
Do you stand by your statement that you did not discuss any of your son's overseas business
dealings? Yes, I stand by that statement. First of all, I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period. I've never discussed my business or their business, my sons or daughters, and I've never discussed them.
He's never taken a bribe, he's never helped rig an election, and he's never committed treason either. One thing we could say that is absolutely true, though, he's never ever honored that oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution either. Oh, yeah, and one more bit of news from the Better Late Than Never files. On Monday nights, there's another piece from TGP. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer told Greg Kelly that Speaker Kevin McCarthy called and they discussed steps now in impeachment following the explosive hearing. Given that bribery is among several that he's known to have committed at this point, that is in fact an impeachable offense. I'll tell you this, said the chairman, right before I came on the show, Speaker McCarthy called me and I gave him a rundown of what was said today. And we talked about steps moving forward. So he said, stay tuned. Oh yeah, and he added this, quote, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. But we've known this for quite a while too, folks. It's really, really hot where that snowball's headed. And there's one more story we need to get out there on the table before we move on. You may have actually heard this one elsewhere. Even some of the Nothing But Communism networks seem to be talking about it now. But it certainly is important to set up a number of the things that I want to talk about next. In the People's Republic of California, under the watchful eye of their Communist Chinese Party dictator, Gruesome Newsom himself, a bioweapons lab found months ago has finally been outed. Back in March, says one of the earlier stories, collected by Andrea Woodberg and the All News Pipeline, investigators discovered a Chinese-linked biolab in Reedley, California, near Fresno. And it turned out to be a bioweapon delight. Officials said the story back then, and personnel from CDPH, the California Department of so-called Public Health, and FCDPH executed a warrant on March 16th to inspect the warehouse at 850 I Street in Reedley. And according to a declaration from Umero Prado, Assistant Director of Fresno County's Public Health, filed in Superior Court, investigators discovered that one room in the warehouse was used to produce various so-called tests for COVID-19 and pregnancy. Ponder the connection here in just a second for that one, folks. And in other rooms, investigators found blood, tissue, other bodily fluid samples, thousands of vials containing unlabeled fluids, and, of course, a lot of mice, almost 1,000 bioweapons-engineered mice that investigators said were, quote, genetically engineered to catch and carry the COVID-19 virus. Among other things, court documents confirmed that the CDC found potentially infectious agents at the location, including both bacterial and viral agents, chlamydia, E. coli, streptococcus, pneumonia, hepatitis B and C, herpes 1 and 5, rubella, and also samples of malaria. And the lab was located conveniently near, as it turns out, a major American naval base, as if the Navy wasn't already injecting its sailors with their own bioweapons. So let me throw out a couple of more dots, because we've got a whole pattern of them at this point, and start to connect those two. This comes from Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog via Wall Street money manager and statistician par excellence, Ed Dowd, who appeared with him on his most recent interview show. And Dowd is still crunching numbers and pointing out the connections. He recently wrote a book entitled Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022, in which he looked at the extreme number of deaths and horrible injuries now skyrocketing in number, not only in America, but in other parts of the COVID-infested bioweapons-engineered world. The huge problems, he writes, caused by the COVID-19 bioweapons/vax are increasing, they're unstoppable, and they no longer need to be proven, he says, because at this point, they're beyond undeniable. Quote, I wasn't in the room, but at this point, it's a crime. It's a cover-up. I said this in my book in December 2022. They see the same data I see, said Dowd, and the data's only gotten worse since then. So, yes, he said it's a crime. It's a cover-up. That's all you need to know. Forget about the who and the why. It's a bioweapon. It was a mistake. I don't care at this point. This is a joke. They're killing people. And he added they're continuing to mandate these jabs at some universities. Some employers still mandate them. The UK is requiring all school children who enter school in the fall to take these shots. This, he said again, is a joke. This is a crime. This is a cover-up. And it's murder at this point. In 2022 alone, Dowd estimated that 30% of the entire workforce had either been killed, disabled, or cannot work, or is working, despite the fact that they're chronically ill. And on top of that, Dowd says the death and disability trend for 2023 is way up. Thousands every day are reporting they're getting sick. Dowd says the COVID-19 bioweapon injections are clearly to blame. Supply chains and society are going to grind to a crawl. And as Dowd predicts, everything is slowly breaking down. You won't see this on the news, he says, but you will see this when you need something done, and you'll experience this. You're going to be gaslit and told everything is fine. That's not the problem here. And then he mocks them, saying things like, that's not the problem here. Don't look over there. We're going to see global Mad Max. Things, he said, are just going to get harder to do. Businesses and services you once took for granted are going to become scarce. I think we're going to see a deflation, too, he said, when it comes to financial assets, and that will start soon enough. We will have inflation in things you'll need, like food, medical care, and many other things. And he also points out the Justice Department is protecting the looting operation that's been going on for 40-plus years. Everybody in Washington, D.C. is literally stealing your taxpayer dollars. The deep state protects this looting operation, and they're all in on it. From there, let's return briefly to the global famine dot for another couple of obvious connections. U.S. Special Presidential Envoy, what a mouthful of BS, for climate. John Kerry, you know, the Secretary of State and criminal that has moved on to bigger and better hustles, was blasted on socialist media over the weekend, says a piece from Fox News, by critics, which is anybody with half a brain, it would seem, who accused him, I would say correctly, of trying to destroy the agriculture industry, indeed it's going on worldwide, in order to achieve their idiotic, bogus, and absolutely worthless so-called net zero emissions. Kerry told a climate change summit, there's another big whopper, back in May, quote, agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions in the world, depending a little bit on how you count it. In other words, the more BS you're willing to swallow, the bigger the number looks. But he said it's anywhere from 26 to 33, and we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done. What job is that, folks? Well, it's not what they're telling you. Anyway, we don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution, he said. You just can't continue to both warm the planet while also expecting to feed it, he added. It doesn't work. So we have to reduce emissions from the food system, unquote. The Fox headline summarizes it thusly. Kerry wants to, quote, bankrupt every farmer in America. But your host actually suggests that's only the start of what he and those pulling his strings really want. Again, we have to reduce emissions from the food system. And right there, folks, if you connect the dots, you know what he's talking about. There are too many of you peons, and what we need to do is reduce the food system. And in the process, of course, that means we're going to reduce a whole hell of a lot of you. You've probably heard the term that's been used by this same mentality for quite a while now. You useless eaters, you. We can't get this done, after all, our zero population growth, unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. Get the picture? Well, okay, if not, here's one more dot. This comes from Colin Todhunter at courtesy of theburningplatform.com. The story is pretty much contained in the headline, Let 'em Eat Bugs, challenging the WEF's corporate-driven food reset. And the first paragraph says this, the prevailing globalized agri-food model is built on unjust trade policies, the leveraging of sovereign debt, population displacement, and land dispossession. It fuels commodity monocropping and food insecurity, as well as soil and environmental degradation, and in turn it's responsible for increasing rates of illness, nutrient-deficient diets, a narrowing of the range of food crops, water shortages, chemical runoff, increasing levels of farmer indebtedness, the undermining and destruction of local communities, and the eradication of biodiversity. And it goes on, but basically it's clear that there are huge environmental, social, and health issues that stem from how much of our food is currently produced and consumed, and that a paradigm shift is required. Problem is, they intend to shift the paradigm in the let's kill more of you useless eaters direction. And by the way, along the way, before you die, let them eat bugs. And that reminds me, I didn't intend to do this story, but I did see it. There's a thing called a meat tick, or at least that's what some are calling it now. It seems to be a bioengineered tick that once it bites you, you can't eat red meat anymore. Wonder whose brilliant idea that was. What do you think, Bill? Good thing somebody's got bioengineered fake tumor meat coming out, right? Which brings me next to a great piece I want to spend a few minutes on, courtesy of Mike Adams at Natural News. It's called 12 Undeniable Signs That Globalists Are Engineering the End of Humanity. And he begins by noting it's no longer even taboo to publicly talk about depopulation. Even many who once dismissed the concept as, oh, you know the word, don't you, conspiracy theory, are now publicly acknowledging the reality that various global efforts are underway to drastically reduce the human population, you useless eaters, you, on planet Earth. Mainstream media are now frequently talking about climate lockdowns as if that was a good thing, to cease human activity on planet Earth in order to save the planet. For what? Well, the demonic entities that they're channeling, it would seem, from so-called climate change, a wholesale fabrication and fake science fraud, says Adams, rooted in the big lie, one of the biggest ever, folks, that carbon dioxide is somehow bad for life on the planet. Although anybody that has understanding at all of real science knows without it, there would be no photosynthesis, no plants, no animals, and of course, therefore, no humans. Now, corporate media is openly calling for climate blackouts and lockdowns, again, the rationing of air conditioning, unless, of course, they want to force you to buy it to heat instead of cool, in which case, no, it's just a far less efficient way of using the energy that you're not going to be allowed to have. And even though they want you to have electric cars, they're still talking openly about banning the use of electricity for air conditioning. You know it's going to be just fine on their private jets, though, don't you? But initially, anyway, only on hot days, all of which is being positioned, again, as vital in order to save the planet. Leftist rag, the Los Angeles Times, recently published a story claiming, or maybe asking, whether or not the occasional blackout might be a good thing to help solve climate change. I'll skip past some of the other parts of the introduction here. I think we've pretty well laid it out already today. But Adams goes on to say, here are 12 signs that underlie the lies, the fake science, the rigged elections, the government-controlled censorship, the transhumanism, the mRNA injections. And if you look behind all of that, connect the dots, you'll see the real agenda. Planetary-scale genocide that targets the human race. So here he says are 12 signs that make that point unmistakable. Number one, they are in fact terraforming the planet through planetary scale atmospheric alterations. The proper politically correct term is geoengineering. Large scale efforts though are underway to, right now, alter the chemistry of planet Earth in order to make it inhospitable to human life by removing CO2 from the atmosphere through what's called carbon sequestration and the related efforts to destroy the ability of the planet to produce food. Since CO2 is necessary for all photosynthesis, and that drives the web of life on planet Earth, this effort will, and is intended to, collapse the food supply, all food crops, rainforests, marine ecosystems, and more ultimately, to kill virtually all the animal and human life on the planet. By the way, folks, plants also produce oxygen, and those of you that weren't public cesspool indoctrinated probably know that's necessary for what's called respiration by animals as well. Without CO2 in the atmosphere, there's essentially no recognizable life left on planet Earth. Yet, he says, the entire climate cult and all of the socialists, Democrats, media propagandists, government regulators, and other big brother public-private partners are all at war with CO2 and trying to eliminate it from Earth's atmosphere. Folks, this is a crime against humanity, one of the biggest, and there have been quite a few of late in human history. Number two, the biometric inventory of the human race, it's called WorldCoin, has begun, and all humans will need to be inventoried so that the globalists can properly track their depopulation milestones. Oh, you've probably heard about the orbs and the fact that they want to digitally scan irises so they know how good of a job they're doing at what they've got planned. Yeah, I know, there's probably some kind of a Mark of the Beast connection in there, too. Number three, they've given up on education of young people in order to be prepared for a productive future. Talked about this for a long time. The goal now is indoctrination, dumbing down, and making sure that they can't connect the dots. They don't know how to think. They merely emote. Number four, controlled demolition of energy infrastructure that drives human economies. I think that's beyond obvious at this point. So we'll skip to number five. Governments are funding, developing, and deploying anti-human genetic bioweapons as if engineered starvation and economic collapse weren't enough by themselves. Western governments, like the United States, are continuing to fund various genetic bioweapons, right, Tony, that target the human race. And we've seen more and more examples, including the fact that the communist Chinese public-private partners are at least behind the scenes helping out a bit. The U.S. Department of Defense, says Adams, is the instigator of some of these bioweapons. They have a long history of running illegal bioweapons labs in countries like Ukraine, as well as various African nations, for purposes that are increasingly, I'll say it again, undeniable. Number six, there's a coordinated global effort to destroy seed diversity and make crops unable to reproduce in order to make sure that free people are no longer able to grow their own food. The global efforts also underway to control the seed supply. We saw the prohibition of certain seed sales, if you recall, during the COVID lockdowns. They were non-essential. And let's not forget that Monsanto and others that are genetically modifying crops so that they contain the seeds of their own destruction, it's called the Terminator gene, simply won't reproduce. Isn't that convenient? Number 7, the rapid rollout of automation robots to replace blue-collar workers and transport drivers. We're seeing that. I think that's clear. Number 8, the rise of AI systems to replace white-collar workers, journalists, artists, coders, writers, and more. Number 9, the CDC is rolling recommendations for annual COVID injections. And don't worry, that's not the only ones. They've got a lot more planned, too, up until you die, which may not be nearly as long as a lot of people had been planning on. One thing is clear here, as with everything else at the Center for Death and Control, as Adams notes, the politics of big pharma drive the so-called science. And it's not a real science anymore like what we used to have, folks. It's the great God science. Just ask Tony Fauci, its high priest. Number 10, geoengineering-driven global famine is intended to unleash mass starvation. We've been talking about that today. Number 11, there are infertility chemicals that are being placed into the food supply. You know some of the names, atrazine, glyphosate, hormone disruptors, in order to reduce population sustainability. It's true that atrazine, he says, the number 2 most common herbicide in our food supply, is a chemical castration element that, quote, turns the frogs gay. And he's talking about a reference to some famous Alex Jones comments from literally years and years ago. And in doing so, it also causes the loss of reproductive viability, notes Adams, leading to what else? Population reduction. Number 12, globalists are in fact preparing to initiate the end of debt-based economics, as if that hasn't been destructive enough already, that have driven cheap food and the affordable growth of human populations. Cheap food, of course, comes from cheap energy. Cheap energy is easier to come by when you have cheap money, i.e. artificially low interest rates and lots of money-printing stimulus to prop up a zombie economy. The economics of the MMT, magical money theory, where delusional economists think money can be printed to oblivion without causing any problems. No, it's just wonderful. That is, if we're the only ones that are allowed to do it. Well, still, notes Adams and all the Austrians, and so does Scripture, folks, they're disastrous in the long run, and when the global debt pyramid of the U.S. dollar comes to an end, it will unleash a black hole-like monetary vortex that will literally destroy, well, just about everything, businesses, wealth, entire economies in record time. The global fiat currency rug pull, he notes, is all being engineered and timed for maximum destructive impact, and it's certainly, without question, drawing closer by the day. Soon, globalist banks will ditch dollars, and they'll call for their global switch to the CBDC system, where they can surveil and control all of your income sources, expenditures, and, of course, make sure that if you're not a good little slave, you don't get to do any of that. I guess the way I'll connect these dots is to say, hey, everything, literally, is pointing in the same direction. It's been clear for a long time. As a matter of fact, it's been prophesied for a long time. We can read Scripture and see exactly what it looks like, at least as the general outlines become more and more clear. And for the most part, all of us, by this point anyway, ought to know what to do. Thanks for being with us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.